What are you got in that? Why have you got a bucket of sludge? Are you mad?
Fat shaming is rife at Castaway
bloody,
Studios.
Bloody too right. It's the only way we'd get them bloody on out and doing some laps of the fat shaming. Who's fat shaming?
What is this?
What now? Hi, this is Derek Myers, and this is What Now? I'll be joined by Dan Lee as a co-host, and we'll talk about whatever we damn well want to talk about, mainly being old dads. But we'll see.
Not me.
My bucket of sludge is what I call a fat boy milkshake.
Right.
But some people call a protein shake or a weight loss.
Or a gluttonous drink. Magical. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
In my cup here,
yeah,
I have just made up a special milkshake for fat people.
But didn't you just get a coffee?
Yeah, I'll drink that in a minute.
Right.
But if I throw this down, it's got all the things that might stop me from being dizzy during the show.
Why was it?
Well, I meant to have one of these for breakfast, then I forgot.
Have you had breakfast?
I'm on a diet.
Oh, okay.
In the traditional sense, the old-fashioned sense, as in,
I'm eating a donut.
For the viewers, I said I'm on a diet, and it was probably the most. I would imagine
perfectly
maybe it's just me because I'm dizzy with hunger. It did look a bit pantomime, and you know the chocolate bar ads, how they have they held the chocolate bar sideways. And fillet it.
I'm trying to scoff it down before you got back with your diet drink.
Oh, all right. I appreciate
it. Why is it that diet drinks always look like big frothy milkshakes?
Idiocy.
Yeah.
it's fucking idiocy. You're trying, let's face it, look, every day, if you say I'm on a diet, five people will just, like, they will fucking abseil down through the roof to tell you, you know, you should fast for 16 hours or you know, you've got to change your lifestyle and, you know, without exercise, it won't, you know, basically it's like a SWAT team.
Well, I'll tell you right now, exercise is, forget about that.
It's bullshit.
It's not going to do anything. The only thing that matters is what you eat.
Yeah.
Because no amount of it, you know how much you have to exercise to lose weight? And that's what's crazy when people go to the gym and then they go straight out and drink loads of beer and smoothies and shit like that. It's about sugar.
Yeah.
It's the only way I've ever lost weight. I lost weight. I lost 10 kilos when I stopped drinking, and I lost another 10 kilos when I went to Asia and stopped eating anything with sugar in it. Soft drinks, all that gone.
Were you a fatty?
No.
20 kilos more than now.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, probably 10 kilos more than now. I've gained a bit since.
Okay. Anyway, so the thing that does make me gasp in wonder is every product they make, and the shelves are full of them, Coles, Woolworths, all the chemist shops, everywhere you go, Aldi,
yeah,
are all full of these products, and everyone, it is ridiculous when you go, when even if you're shit at it, you do know that in the long term you've got to lose a bit of weight. Right, and then a lot or a bit or whatever, and then change your lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
Why do they fucking make them they go as hard as they can to make it like something
like
you could never have in the future?
Yeah.
Why is this a fucking chocolate falsely sweetened milkshake?
But
why isn't
it
fucking, you know, celery flavor or something? I wouldn't give a shit. I'm just throw it down. And it does its job. It's like a Barocca to me.
Well, then that's good if you're not – like if you don't have any sugar and you don't have refined carbohydrates, you'll lose 10 kilos straight away.
Yeah, yeah. I know all that. But
like that's all you need to know.
I don't really – I'm not a sugary guy.
No.
I'm a greedy guy.
Right, okay.
Right, so it's quantity.
Big portions.
Big portions. I really don't have sugar.
Yeah. Just loads.
Probably here and there, but if I do, I'll go probably lose my mind and eat it all. But
yeah,
it's not about that. It's about quantities, and I'm not interested right now in changing my lifestyle so that I can keep the weight off because it's fucking still on.
Yeah,
okay, so for now,
But the problem is then when you use it, you get gradually complacent about it too. So it's not just about – like, are you suggesting that if you – once you've lost the weight, it'll be easier to keep it off?
No, it's not. All the big guys – like I've seen – because I'm on the social media –
don't talk to me about the social media.
We'll get to that. Because I'm on the social media a fair bit on the Facebook, I see a lot of guys in my gang.
Yeah.
You know, the big guys. And then and then we lose them.
What do you mean?
Well, they're not fat anymore.
Oh, okay, right.
Not dead, no, but they're not fat anymore, right? And you go, oh, you bastard. right? But they go on about it a bit as if it's forever.
Yeah.
And then they get big again.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And that's the routine. Gut bacteria. I watch my mum do it.
Microbiome, dude.
All these things.
But no, but a lot of it's got to do with that, about microbiome and how much it processes. Like if the microbiome are eating a lot of half your food for you, that's going to help, right?
So tapeworm.
Get yourself a good solid tapeworm. Wind it around an axe handle and pull it out your ass when you're finished.
Get down the pet shop.
When you've reached your desired weight, you just wind it around an axe handle and pull it out of your ass. The tapeworm, I mean, because it'll be about 18 feet long and as thick as a...
I find it hard to undo a small knot with my hand slightly above my head in the twilight.
Do you know what is the best fucking diet?
Tie a tapeworm inside my own body around an axe.
Oh, I'm pulling a tapeworm out of my ass. Do you know what works really well?
No.
Crystal meth. You go on the meth diet, seriously. If you get on the skag for a couple of months, you will drop everything.
But like that, you're just going to put it all back on.
Not if you stay on the meth.
Exactly.
No, but it fucking hell, but it is the only thing that works. And mainly, and it's not even just because of the skag, it's because you don't eat anything. You have no desire to eat.
I went off on tour. I took another show of mine on tour and interviewed my own mother about all the different diets.
About the skag.
Great resource.
She would have had the diet tablets with the speed in them.
And she said, yeah, well, I was a speed addict for a while. And you go, what?
Yeah.
Did you find out about your mum?
Yeah. Why not?
She was, and she said they'd go and.
50s housewives were all keeping a clean house.
Tablets and, full of, riddled with amphetamines.
Yeah.
And it's not going to last forever unless it does.
Yeah, unless it does, unless you're on the right dose.
But anyway, that explains why I had a cup of weird frothy stuff.
Did you not have breakfast?
No.
Oh, well, see, you can't do that.
No, it was a mistake. It's not a plan.
Oh, okay, it's not a plan. Yeah.
First couple of days, I'll just load up with eggs and stuff, and I think this is all just hearsay you get from people that have paid the big bucks.
Mm.
So you talk to a few blokes that, you know, were big blokes.
Yeah.
And they go, they do the right thing, maybe in their 30s or whatever, and they go to a nutritionist.
Yeah.
And the nutritionist, and they go, and they grumble, you go, what's the matter? They go, I had to have 8 eggs for the first 2 days. I haven't done a poo for a long time and all this kind of grumbling. I go, all right, note to self, 8 eggs. Saves me a couple of $100.
Yeah.
So, I did that the other day. I kicked it off a couple of days ago.
8 eggs.
And I didn't eat 8 eggs, but I took a box of it. I went out to my parents on Tuesday and I took, oh, the fucking carry on. I took a box of eggs, some hot smoked salmon, an avocado, and some bread for them in case they wanted some of my stuff, you know. But I took lunch that wasn't carbs.
Right.
Not fat boy milkshake, just like proper food.
Yeah.
And it was all very nice. Except when I said I was having 3 eggs, my mum just lost her shit.
Because they're bad for you?
Yeah.
Did you tell her eggs aren't bad for you anymore? They've changed that?
I didn't
Apparently
know that.
Apparently you can't get enough eggs now.
I don't give a shit. I just want to lose some weight.
No, but
eggs are amphetamines.
Yeah, eggs are amphetamines. I mean, you can't look at a calorie without gaining weight.
I said, Mum, if you eat 4 eggs a day, you're not going to do a poo for the rest of your life, right? I said, look, a friend of mine spent hundreds of dollars and the nutritionist told him to eat 8 eggs in a day, but fucking only for hell. A couple of days.
Right.
Right? And that just changes your body's desire. Your body instantly uses the protein for energy instead of the sugar.
ketogenic diets are about.
I don't pay much attention. I just go, yeah, but what do I eat? Don't tell me why. Maybe if I changed and did ask why, I would maybe be a healthier person.
You're sitting there feeling miserable, and you go, I'll just have a bit of a chocolate or a bit of a cake, right? I know that's what I do. It's you go, you want to boost your dopamine somehow, and the things like meth are boosting people's dopamine so they don't have any desire to eat anything to feel good. Because, you know, it's that reward system in your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And if so when you do exercise, it's feeding the dopamine response thing, blah, blah, blah. It's all about those feel-good chemicals.
And when you're fat, it's crime and punishment. Right. Instead of good behavior and rewards, it's all just crime and punishment. So I don't do the sugar thing.
But your brain's still rewarding you for eating by giving you dopamine.
Your brain is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you've got your mind.
Who's hating you.
Who's punishing you.
Yeah,
for the
that's
same
true.
Thing.
Yeah.
So it's a bit tricky, isn't it?
It is.
It's like getting the governor's award for, you know, what you've given to society delivered to you in prison.
Yeah. Well, look out.
Yeah, there's a bit of booger there. Look, I just want to talk about the another podcast that isn't out yet.
Yeah.
And it's called The Good Paddock.
Right.
And it is really about what it's like to be a big bloke, because a lot of people don't realise. Like, so I have I think the idea of a podcast is you have a few conversations over the years, and every single person you tell something to, they go, "What? Really?" You know, that people don't get what it's like, and it's not a sookie thing.
No, just
but it is amazing. I speak to, you know, girls that have, you know, deal with weight problems and stuff, and go, "Hey, try being a bloke,"
right?
When 15 times a day, people will look at you up and down and go, "Fuck me, you're fat."
So I'm getting the boys together.
They do it to me.
You can see people doing that.
What do you mean?
Looking you up and down and going.
Yeah. They say it.
Right.
No, I mean it. That's not. That's
who's
not,
strangers?
They don't say it with their eyes. They say it with their mouths.
What? Strangers?
Not strangers. No. Your friends. People
this
you
is
know.
Because you've got a very casual and kind of honest relationship with your friends.
Yeah.
So they feel like they're allowed
to.
No,
not really.
No?
No. The name, Good Paddock, you know where that comes from.
Is it a farming thing about.
No, if you put on weight, everyone says, "Oh, you've been in a good paddock." It's an old paddock.
Right.
Yeah. So it used to happen when I met Fiona. She was like, she said to me one time, we walk around Fitzroy and I knew everybody and rah, rah, rah. And she said, and we ran into a couple of old clients, old people living in apartments and stuff that I'd met four times, built something for.
Yeah.
And they said it. And she turned to me and she said, "The next fucker that tells you you've been in a good paddock, I'm going to break their fucking nose." And she was like shocked at the being a woman where everyone's nice to you no matter what weight you are.
Yeah.
They only tell you were too fat after you've lost the weight sort of thing.
So should people not – it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because some people take the approach of, I'll make a bit of a joke of it, because if you clearly look different to the last time they saw you, then they feel like – or that it, like to say – what they feel like they're obligated to say something.
Yeah. It's like – well, it's kind of – yeah, well – I don't know why you're obligated to say something. I'm not complaining about it. Let me make that clear. But the punchline of that story is the next person that said, "Whoa, you've been in a good paddock," word for word, was her father. And I'm turned to her. I'm going, come on. And he's a bit, you know, he's a bit, when he was young, he's a bit punchy.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going, go on. Give me one. Come on. And he's going, what?
What's going on?
Anyway, that's coming up. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm recruiting at the moment. It's going to be a panel of plus. I wanted to do one possible name was A Ton of Blokes.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like mathematically how many to a ton?
Where are you going to go with this? Because you're not fat. Like proper fat.
Oh, look, it's
as in not to say I don't want to downgrade.
Extremely obese is what the computer says.
Bullshit.
That's what it says.
Really?
It doesn't take
like you're
that
not
much.
Waddling and kind of.
No, I know, but that you in the once you're in the danger zone, you're in the danger zone.
Oh, okay.
Like I'm not in the zone where people would go.
The disabled
that
zone.
Guy's going to die any second. You know, the full disabled.
There's a point after which
still,
yes, you're more. Oh, come on! You can walk. You don't get brought in on a fucking pallet jack.
No, I know, but that's an extreme that doesn't.
And for you,
it doesn't count. It's too rare.
And as the person, any amount of overweightness doesn't make you feel good, right? In terms of your own self.
It's only self defense. This thing kicked off. You have the kids, and then you go, well, right, I'm going to sort this out because I'm an old dad and I'm going to stay alive.
Yeah.
Right. And then 10 years later, you go, I'm fucking 10 kilograms heavier than when I said that.
Yeah.
And then the psychology, God knows. I mean, we'll start the show. We'll get a shrink in. I'll get some free stuff off of them because they're on a show or something. But it's kind of damaging and debilitating when you go, I don't even care. You know, I remember the thought when my brother had kids going, you know, sort of, I don't know whether I said it or thought it, to my mum going, if you want to see them grow up, you should lose weight. You know,
look after your health.
And then she kind of, you know, did and didn't or whatever, you know, still fluctuated.
Yeah.
But now I know that it's just like the more things you fail, as you know, from all different things in life, you know, the more things you fail, the harder it is to get over the top of that.
I'm inordinately terrified about gaining lots of weight because I know how easy it is and I know how much I have to be careful. And because, you know, that change from when you're in your 20s, like you fucking look at a donut now and you put on 2 kilos.
And it's amazing,
so, yeah. Yeah. But then when I'm really tired or whatever, it's easy to just blow it out and go, because you're starving for carbs and sugar when you're tired. Your brain, because your brain requires most of your energy. And it's so that's when you get the worst cravings. And then the more tired you are, the more you want to eat high sugar, high carb stuff. Yeah. But there's all these loops, isn't there, when you become a parent too. And then these feedback loops that make it harder. You got less time. If you're older, you're more tired anyway.
Precisely.
Once you get some weight, it's harder to. I'm very super aware of how that can get hard to.
Yeah, and we're supposed to just analyze it and know. Like, let's face it. There's that many people telling you at the same time.
Yeah.
You know how to play golf, or you know how to sort yourself out. You know, there's one thing missing from everything everyone ever tells you, what's right for you and how your brain's working and what drives you.
Yeah.
And at this time, 2 years ago, maybe two, 2 years ago, January the 1st, which is kind of cliched, but it just kind of fitted.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't hungover or make a resolution.
Yeah.
I just quietly, without mentioning it, started in the morning – drinking the fat boy milkshakes, rah, rah. And I dropped, and this is almost the perfect scenario, over 7 months, I dropped 16 kilos.
Wow.
Right? And that's ideal because if you said in four months I did it, people go, yeah, but that's, you know, that's not, it's not sustainable
too fast,
and rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
And it's like, unfortunately, I should have made a diary or a podcast or something that would have let me remember what was going through my mind, what makes it turn.
Yeah.
Like catalogue what made it turn. And what happened 3 days ago? Nothing I know.
Yeah.
Nothing I know. You know, I was having a chat to my friend Eliza who's into steps. And this is where I want to get onto the modern world with apps and equipment and stuff for health.
Right.
Connected to health. Like I've got about 5 apps. I've got a folder called Fatty, right? And inside of it, there's the app that comes with it. Over there, there is a set of scales.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's so I can stand on those. And if I'm somewhere near what I was yesterday, which you will be, unless you suddenly take all my clothes off or something.
Yeah.
it'll go, is this you, Derek? You know, yeah, you just one tap for left. And it goes up into my phone and goes into a graph.
I've got that too.
And yeah, oh, I love it, yeah. Right? And I don't give two shits because it's now life and death. It's not body image. It's not It's not my modelling career. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not trying to score at the disco. It's purely life and death.
Yeah.
So you go, I don't give a fuck if you want to judge me for – having an app and using that computer game addiction style reward sensor.
Yeah, yeah.
Like watching the numbers basically go, yes, yes, I got a high score. I got a high score. And that's the thing that drives all these addictive games, Plants vs. Zombies and whatever it is.
It's watching the numbers change.
It's what drives everyone and what drives the kids. Mm. You know, they might, whatever game they play, you watch all the games now are designed to trigger numbers. There's levels. That game he's playing out there that he's going on about is actually they play the game, but there's level and there's class or something. So they've got different categories that where your numbers grow up
because it's just giving you a dose of morphine of dopamine every time you increase some kind of productivity, or some kind of thing.
So I don't need to worry about – I don't need to be tech shamed because it's whatever works. And Eliza is fully – and this is the current thing. It's not – weighing yourself is a bit old-fashioned.
Yeah.
But now they say it's not about your weight, it's about your size and your health and steps. So steps is a big thing.
Oh, so you mean like as in literal walking steps?
How many steps you do a day? Like you've got to get your high –
well, I've got that going on. How many do you do a day? Yeah. 12,000. I try to.
That's a billion. Well, it's 12,000, but it's a lot.
Sometimes it's a lot less. Depends if I've been sitting on my ass. But that stuff helps, and you can do stuff where it'll actually say to you if you've been sitting down too long, it'll go, hey, fatso, get up.
Yeah.
Do something. Huh. It will. It literally says move.
Does it know your heartbeat?
Yeah, yeah, it knows all that. That's why it does my sleep as well.
Is it good for panic attacks?
I don't know. It'll give you one if you're not careful.
You know, if your device is telling you that you're not having a heart attack, then you can go, all right, it's probably just a panic attack.
Can't do that.
You can get over it.
No, that'll be a few generations away, I think.
I think there's one now with full ECG.
Right. Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe I had a dream. Maybe it was a dream.
Yeah.
Fantasy. But anyway, the tech and the health. Now that it's life and death, it's really easy. You just go, whatever it takes. I don't even have – for the next 20 kilos, it's not even time to think about sustainable lifestyle choices.
It's just – yeah.
It's just fucking get this goop from around my heart.
Yeah.
You know, that's like – so it's nice. It's more relaxing this way.
Yeah.
Because everyone can't – you just – because you can shut people up and go, it doesn't matter right now.
Yeah.
But we'll worry about that in 6 months' time.
Yeah, well, I know. And I know.
There's two ways of giving up things.
Yeah.
You know, I was a world-class black belt in giving up cigarettes.
Right.
Right. I knew every different way and I was really good at them all.
Yeah.
Which we all know is kind of a weird
idea. You either quit or you don't.
Obviously, everything except the last one was a failure. Well, this is what I was chatting to my mum about. It's not necessarily because if you're going up and down in weight, what if you didn't go on every fad diet?
Well, you can say
it's part of
your –
is that the system for keeping you overweight rather than keeping you full Gilbert Grape?
Well, you hope you're learning something each time. It's like it's like when people quit booze. You can expect them to fall on and off the wagon a few times. That's part of the figuring out.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, when people go back, sometimes people, it's worthwhile, not that you would tell them to go back, but sometimes if they bust and go back to drinking, it helps to give them that comparison point.
Yes.
They go, oh, suddenly that 2 months they had sober seems, really important, and then they come back better the next time.
Which is what I find amazing about dreams. And the, you know, there's always been arguments about what dreams are for, and scientists will probably tell you that it's just your mind just losing its shit while you're not paying attention. But practice emotion. I see dreams as being rehearsals for emotions. So yeah,
probably.
You know, I woke up for 5 years after not smoking cigarettes. Probably once a year, I would wake up. I had a cigarette dream, and it was just all just boring. It was like fucking Neighbours or something.
Yeah.
You know, nothing. It wasn't interesting or exciting or colourful. It was just full of this horrible guilt and fear of and sense of failure. And
that's the drinking dreams.
And you would have the same for drinking, and you'd wake up. But how good is it to wake up and go, oh, my fucking God.
It didn't happen. It's not true.
It didn't happen. I haven't got to start again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is if you've got to start again, you've got to start again. But it's nice to not.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you come out of the dream, which is so real, and then it's not true. So
yeah, and so that's a pretty hand.
I mean, the good thing with booze and cigarettes at least is that you don't need them to sustain life. With food, you have to eat.
Yeah.
So in terms of trying to, you know, eat less or reduce your caloric intake, it's harder because you can't, like, you can not drink alcohol and that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, you know, you have to, it's like coffee. That won't stop being an issue to me until I get rid of it completely.
Yeah.
As in, there's always going to be overindulgence in it that makes you.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying before at the cafe. The easier it is to get, the more socially, not only just normal, but massive fad something is, the harder it is to give up, maybe not chemically or physically, but because it's just so socially normal and also
required to sustain life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But the sugars is next. I mean, coffee, sugar, the whole world's addicted to fucking sugar.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not. I love it.
You're halfway there, and it's
a plateau. Mm. So if you're going in sugar rushes, even if you're not, I claim to not be a sugar head, but still my life's a peak and trough of sugars and fats.
Yeah, and the sugars
because it's in everything, right?
Carbohydrate.
Yeah. So you're doing that, but the last 3 days, that's probably why you're exhausted and I'm tripping balls off not having any input except protein.
Yeah.
So we might not even be speaking right now. We might be just dreaming.
Man, I'm feeling so psychedelic that I can't even, I can't remember what it was like I was saying the other week. I can't remember the last thing you said and I can't remember the thing that I was going to respond to it with.
Yeah.
I've got no idea. That's why we need three co-hosts so that two of us can blank out.
The one can go, whoop, it's me then.
Get my mother in here.
When I was young. But the easier it is, the more socially acceptable it is, the harder it is to give up. It's like the durries.
So what are we really doing? What addiction are we feeding by doing this podcast? Because and where does this all end? Do we just keep doing this forever?
Funny you should talk about social media.
Well, I didn't.
Well, no, but in my head you did. My brain just
Your brain heard what I wanted to hear.
That was a joke, but what I should have said to not confuse me and you and the audience is I am a little bit not disturbed. I'm a little, you know, the podcast arsehole thing that's upset you and I. Right? It's in there now.
It's in there.
It's herpes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Herpes of the mind.
Well, it just keeps gnawing away at this, like we're just selfishly believing, like we could be doing something
more. Well, I nearly had a social media argument yesterday.
Right.
For the first, like there was,
Social media just gets you from one donut to the next, doesn't it?
Well,
that's the problem.
I'm pretty good at not arguing on social media, and if you do it right, you can argue and then walk away and watch someone just keep throwing rocks over the fence.
Yeah,
right. But there was a thing, and it's related to podcasting and social media, which is our next topic.
Right.
So there's a thread on a Facebook group called the Podcasters Support Group or something like that. And it's got billions. Like, it really is the place where we all go.
We're all the lonely old blokes who are trying.
No. This is the – they're not. There's people that are into haunted houses and there's people that are into, you know, all the different podcasts, right? All the different – it's pretty amazing.
I thought it was just nerds and the rapidly aging and the fuckless.
No,
I thought
not
that
at all.
Was all that podcasting was inhabited by.
Well, it wouldn't be getting billions pumped into it if that was the case.
Okay, go on.
There's a thread. Someone started a thread saying, look, I've got the Instagram and I would help me if some people followed me on Instagram and I'll follow you back. And then I've got a few more followers.
Yeah.
And it's more interesting for me on my feed and everything as well. I was like, and I was like all over it. I'm going, fuck yeah. And it just boomed and it was a big long thread, right? And people just said, yep, I've followed you. This is my account.
Yeah.
So basically I got 25 new followers yesterday, and I followed 25 podcasters.
Right.
When I say the What Now.
Oh, the What Now account, Instagram.
Right.
Okay.
The What Now. So it's a podcast followed 25 other podcasts diverse from all over. To me, it's magical because that thread, I can use it now. Like if you're building an Instagram account for a purpose.
Right.
Rather than just general infantry for a purpose, then you might not look at it because you've liked and followed all these people strategically.
Right.
To try and get them to follow you or whatever it all – it's quite complicated. We don't need to go into that. But this was more this was real. These were actually podcasts. These are the audience you want. And you're going to – what you do, our show notes are going to pop up all around the world on other people's shows. And just in that first half a day, I saw there was a show about something that I went, right, I'm going to call them and do an interview with them and do a reciprocal because it's the vibe that's going to work with one of my other shows.
All right.
And it was it was a much better networking thing because Instagram's really quick. There's no bullshit. It's not a conversation. And I in the middle of all this thread, one guy went, oh, I don't see the point. He chucked a bit of a Dan. He go, I don't see the point. It's, it's not beneficial. And he was just talking about the benefits, how it's not going to benefit this. It's not going to benefit you and your followers aren't going to be the. And I went and I just retorted, which I rarely do now.
Right.
And I just went, well, one, benefits, a point form. I just wrote one. It's great to have someone on your own thread. It's pleasant on my own thread. I can use Instagram on that account now and see what all people are up to, what episodes and stuff like that, and a brief comment on what they're doing without having to go to, unlike Facebook, whereas, and I did say it was a bit of a narc, I suppose, where I said where on Facebook it's the whole platform is dominated by the loud, the opinionated, and the power and the strong voices.
Right.
Right? It's a thread talking about podcasts. Whereas on the Instagram, this is people putting out their own thing. So you can go, oh, look at that. That person does, lesbian tours of haunted houses, right? Fascinating. But that's you can either go, great, or you can go, I'm going to click their link and have a listen. You know what I mean? Like it's a good resource. But one of the other things was, look, it does benefit you having more followers, and whichever way you look at it and however much you intellectualize it, if you've got 100, if you've got 80 followers on your show on Instagram, even if you've got 10,000 listeners on your actual show, the public don't get to see your metrics. You can lie about them, and people do all the time. People don't see your
– Do they?
Well, I lie about them all the time. It's always a tongue in cheek when we've got a new follower in Iceland or something like that I've made up. But you gotta. We do have some followers in Iceland, by the way. So,
but what are we trying to achieve?
No. That's the thing. You've got. You're asking if you ask someone. If I say, "Hey, talk to Kylie Minogue's agent and go." Hey, Kylie, I'm doing a show called the Australian Vinyl Show, the Aussie Vinyl Show. Would you come on my podcast?
Mm.
First thing they do is look at your fucking socials and they go, he's got 83 followers. No, is the answer.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right? So, you know, there is a benefit to having, you know, in a local sense, if you've got 250 followers, then people go, well, yeah, you're not a Johnny come lately.
And presumably there's tipping points because the more people you're connected to, the more people they're connected to and the more possibility there is to connect it to other people, et cetera, et cetera.
And you can – so it's not – you're not – to me it's not a hunger for metrics and not a numbers game feeding the reward sensors right now.
Right.
To me, like with the Aussie Vinyl Show, I was on a – I've been on a dedicated program that's cost me hours and hours and hours of making little videos, one-minute videos, so that I've got a – my Instagram is a product, right? It's little videos about different records and it's become an entity in itself. But the whole point was I don't want to ask fucking, you know, Tim Rogers or Davey Lane or Missy Higgins, right, to come into my studio and be on my show because they'll look at – if they look at my Instagram and go, well, he's only got 200 followers. So it is a game but you put out the product and get a valid game. I got about 1,500 followers on Instagram, and you know what? They're all people interested
in
my product.
Yeah.
And the Instagram product is going to be, you know, just the tip of the iceberg for the they work together, they're harmonious. So it's a long-term social media game to play.
Yeah.
And to me, that's valid and not shallow.
No. I understand that why. I just have trouble with it. That's all. For my head, I don't, because it's all happening off, it's so intangible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like if you go and do if you are a musician, you do a concert and there's 100 people there or 500 people there, that's a very tangible, connected, linked, experiential thing.
Yeah.
So like it tends to – that social media thing is like this kind of interwebbing of theoretical people. It's so odd and it does something to my head that doesn't help. Like I can't spruik it anymore.
No. Well, there's no need to because we're reaching this – you know, the next phase of social media where we've got the olds, like it's being seen as a young person's game.
Right.
And that's ridiculous because it's wasted on the young, I think I might have mentioned.
Yeah.
But it's a tool that is bull at a gate. We've gone at it bull at a gate. Yeah. And it's blown out of control. And then we'll be harnessed and used a bit more sensibly when we learn to put, you know, crumple zones in cars and airbags and, you know what I mean? Like cars arrived and fucked everybody. People, like thousands of people were dying in America every day, car accidents, because it was so exciting. It was just too good to be true.
So the beginning of anything has all sorts of teething problems.
Brutal. Yeah. But anyway, so we've got our current issue. If you want to talk about it, we've got the What Now show has a Facebook page, and that's at the moment it's active, but it just catches in automatically the Instagram, which is just the show pictures, right? And we have a problem with Dan being not on social media or not wanting to get into that horror zone, and I understand it fully. So I set up an account that would allow him to sign in, but it doesn't. I tried to make it so. Do you know what I was doing?
I was trying to make it
so that it's not really your account, but it's just a way for you to.
But I'd be better off to write the copy and the thing and just give it to you to put on there.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I've got an account there, and then what happens is, I also don't like this whole thing of starting to try and sell myself online.
Yeah.
Because, and it's fine and it works for people or whatever, but I can't think like that. It's like the problem with busking. I just want to do the thing yes. and not worry about
you want someone to approach you and say this is the product.
Well, if you want to listen to it, that's fine. If you don't, don't. I don't give a shit. You know, it's like that school thing. I don't like. I mean, I'll promote some. I'm not doing it myself anymore. I can tell you that. That's one good thing about the playwriting thing. I don't want to get into the whole. When I used to do comedy shows myself, and I didn't have an agent or anything, I was my own director, my own producer, my own marketing person, my own. So you spend all this time spruiking yourself up in the comedy guide and pretending to write interviews, making up a fake name and interview yourself to make yourself sound like an. I don't want to be telling people how great I am in those. I just can't do it anymore. Just don't care. What I like about this is the experience of coming in here and talking to you. And as soon as I start worrying, because I have a tendency to do it, it's the numbers thing. I want to know. Oh, maybe we can get more people to listen to it. And then I go, well, why do I want more people to listen to it? What is it that I'm getting from this? And it really isn't. It's not like I go out there and want anyone to come up to me and say, hey, I thought that was. I know when we've done a good show. I know if we've talked about some funny stuff. As long as one or two people we know hear it and might, you know, it's just nice to know that someone's hearing it and thinks it's funny, because that energizes you and gives you the impetus to try and make people laugh, for example, if you know there's someone listening compared to doing it on your own. But I feel so awful, icky about, and that's a horrible word to use, but about that pursuit of, and especially when it comes to the social media these days and this thing of fame and notoriety without any.
Yes.
You know, like people are about Twitter follows, it's about followers and about this, but it's built around nothing. I get that when you've got a product or a thing to sell or a thing that you do, it's great to do that and get it out there to people, but trying to increase those things, it's not good for me in some way because it pulls me away from the experience is what it does. Because then I sit here thinking about what we should be talking about, what we shouldn't be talking about. Or I'm sitting here going, oh, this isn't very funny or this isn't very this. And I don't want to get into that.
You know what? I don't think that. Is that bad?
No, it's – well,
I don't think while we're doing the show, we'll just keep talking.
No, but it's from hosting spoken word nights.
Oh, okay.
And it's from hosting that – storytellers or comedy nights, and when you're emceeing and hosting and you're getting people up, you're constantly listening for whether the audience are drifting away or whether it's interesting. Jesus, the computer's gone. The computer's gone. Yeah, well, I'm drifting away. I've had enough of this. Computer says no, but you get used to assessing it for audio, whether it's of interest to people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to fucking do that anymore. I just want to sit here and talk to you. But it gets into this awful territory of trying to gain more support. I mean, I don't give a fuck anymore. It's the good thing about getting old. The part of me that doesn't want to fucking be.
What if it's just like the Yellow Pages, Dan? Like, I mean, I know that it's like, oh, it looks like you're trying too hard getting all the social medias and spruiking yourself and rah. What if it's part of life? Instead of making one ad per year and paying $20,000 to the Yellow Pages, maybe it just means some poor bastard, i.e. me, has to make twice a week an image. And it's just like, it's just what you have to do. To put it up there, because if that's what the kids, the people of the world expect,
but Derek, if we focus,
not doing it puts you in a different position.
But if we focus, I've got this thing that I feel like this is why I want to go deep every bloody week. And by that, I'm like, if we can get ourselves unselfconscious enough and in the zone enough to really, really wrestle with ourselves and with ideas, then everything else takes care of itself. It's like when you write a play. Like if I write a play and people don't like it, doesn't matter how – some people will go, well, I'm a genius and the audience are just morons. I go, no, you're not – sure – you might be talented and clever, but it's not striking a chord with them for one reason or another. That's not about being mainstream or commercial. Yeah. It's just like some people hit the zeitgeist at the right moment. But I still believe that if you do something honest and captivating enough, it will affect and reach people and start a conversation. I like the idea of that. I like the idea that I feel best when you and I have a discussion that gets really gets us in the zone, and stop thinking about who's listening.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And I stop thinking about whether things are good or bad, and I stop thinking about whether I'm wasting my time and all these bullshit things. And I just go, we're getting to what life's about. And because we all want to be just part of the conversation and part of what life on earth is sort of trundling its way toward. It's like that thing I was saying the other week about sitting at the bus stop and going, what the fuck is going on? Like humanity, we're all racing around trying to invade countries or create world peace, or we're trying to get the economy right, or we're trying to stop people from starving to death. We're solving diseases. We're trying to get more intelligent. And why the fuck are we doing this? Why, you know, what are we sort of trundling towards? And I just want to be part. I just want to be in that flow. Stuff.
Well, this is the magic of the. I mean, I'll go on about it a bit. The magic of the podcast medium, because, you know, if you were on that forum that I chit chat on, it's constant every single day. Someone goes, "Oh, I've been doing this for 3 years, and I've still only get 50 people per episode."
Yeah,
and everyone goes, "What's wrong with that?"
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It takes time. Relax.
And also, what you're
– But really, you can't be hungry for instant success.
No.
Unless you're funded by the ABC and you've got a fucking great idea and a big budget.
Yeah, but the gratification for us has to come
from
the action of it.
Yeah.
Like I have to feel – because and the beautiful irony of that is when people are genuinely really down to earth and really – being vulnerable or getting to the truth in themselves, people find it. People come to you. People, it's like when I stopped trying so hard and started saying how I really felt with writing, then people started listening because I wasn't trying to get them. I've just got to say this, or I've got to dig this up, or I've got to discover this. And that's what I want as I get older, is I want that experience of getting deep into something. This is what I loved about AA and about meetings, is that shortcut that you get because you know you're all there for the one purpose. There's all this small talk and background that you just bypass.
You know you're a pisshead.
Yeah, and you know that you're trying to engage with your life in such a way that you don't have to return to this horrible state you used to be in. And the only way to do that is to be honest with people and to be honest with yourself. Now, when you're dealing with another alcoholic, you don't have to explain – you don't have to go, now, listen, I'm an alcoholic and I'm in order for me to stay sober, I need to talk about these things and so I want to – you know, you don't have – you'd feel weird if you just came into a dinner party with strangers and started talking about certain stuff. But the great thing is I can meet someone will call me in Broome. I've said before, some truck driver will be driving through. Hey, this is Ken from bloody blah. I'm going to have a coffee with you when I get there. Never met him before. We sit down straight into how am I going to deal with my shame at the way I treated my ex-wife when we were drinking. So where are you from, mate? And would you like a, you know, none of that. Just boom, straight
into
it.
It's an agreed straight to the nitty gritty.
Bypass.
Which is what we agreed to do on Mondays.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It was like, let's fucking go for it. Take me down there.
Yeah.
You know.
That's and I keep having this urge to do that. Yeah. You can't fake it. You've got to find your way to it. But all I'm getting at, the reason I bring this up in relation to the what's it called, the Facebook and all that shit, is those things for me pull me further away from that.
Okay.
They pull me further away from getting to the – because I start getting ambitious again. This is what I – and I start going, I'm going to write this play, then I'm going to turn it into a film, and then I'm going to get the – see, I'll get the T-shirts and merch printed before I've even done the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to make this.
Well, it's the same vibe as getting all over the socials before doing your thing. But
and social media
it can't help.
It's its own. No. Absolutely. I'm not.
But yeah, look. This there's no way. Look, we're in a safe place here because number one, I like I said before, I don't think when we've got the mics on, I don't think about – I've never thought – until you said that, I'd never even considered the concept of thinking about what we should say to make it a better show.
But that's my performance background.
Sitting, like, the choice of sitting here with you to me is the deal is done.
Yeah.
That's the show that we're going to get is the show we're going to get on the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on who's asleep, who's got hay fever, and where we come from. And you want to go deep, you have to bring me there because my natural position is somewhere halfway up a mountain.
Yeah. Well, no, I know, well, that's the thing I'm just trying to remind myself of is that this
– But I'll take care of the socials. You don't worry about that.
Yeah, I can't
I'll
do it.
I'll feed gonna you to, statistics
I'm going to have to get off that Facebook thing because then I start looking at what other people are doing and I start – my brain doesn't – cope well.
Look, it's part of being a grown up is
knowing your limitations,
finding out what triggers you.
Yeah,
you know,
and something. All right,
that was awesome, Dan. Good night, love you.
See ya. Lots of love.
Yes.
What now?